again, everyone. This is Martin Zunder, and I am broadcasting from my North American studio here in beautiful downtown Canton, Ohio, just a stone's throw away. Well, no, that's right. Perhaps you'd have to throw a stone, I would say maybe 10 times to get to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. If you're from a foreign country and you don't know what the Pro Football Hall of Fame is, Google Pro Football Hall of Fame. You notice I have a new format here. Well, it's a new look. It's a look based on necessity. It looks kind of gloomy. I'm in black and white right now. And you're thinking, Martin, this is such a stark contrast. Where's the color? Where's the life? Where's the joy? Where's the happiness? Well, all those things are on hold right now as we look into the trumpets, the seven trumpets of Revelation. So I thought to myself, in the absence of my studio background that you are used to seeing in Brazil, I thought to myself, what would be better? What would be more apropos than a stark black and white set here in Canton, Ohio? So that's what I have. The lighting is austere, some might say. And who knows, I might change it. But for now, this is what we're going with. So welcome to the Revelation series. And it sounds so petty and trite. Welcome to the Revelation series. It should be more like a Vincent Price movie. Welcome onto the Revelation series. This week we will sound the first trumpet, the beginning of God taking back the earth for himself, for his son. And that's exactly what we're doing, the first trumpet. But I'm going to read A. Enoch's last paragraph before the section that begins the first trumpet. I almost want to preempt tomorrow's broadcast by telling you a little bit about the first trumpet, but no, I'm going to resist the temptation. And I notice Satan has just fled from me. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. I've just experimented along that line, and it happened. Fantastic. Now, men cannot touch his saints, and I assume this would mean women too. This is a rather sexist way to say it. I would put it this way. Humans, no human being can touch his saints. Now, this is going to shock you, because you're going to say, "This, how could this be? I don't get it, Martin, because my personal experience does not tell me that this is true." But look, personal experience, it's a very suspect way to make a judgment on things, because your personal experience is not giving you true input. And that's really helpful to know that the world you see, it's almost like a fake world. It's almost like there's such a huge world operating behind the curtain of what you see that you need to really fly by your instruments and trust what you read. And your instrument is the Word of God. Right now, I'm not reading the Word of God. I'm reading a paragraph from A. Enoch, but this will lead us to the Word of God. And I'm going to read a passage from 2 Corinthians. Well, just hang on there. Hang on to me. Watch this. Humans cannot touch his saints without attacking him. He is bound to support their cause. He is bound. And don't think of it as, oh, he's bound to do that. He's bound, like tied up. He's tied up with us. He has chosen to be tied up with us. Now, this is amazing. You might think it sounds preposterous that the God of the universe would tie himself to us, and that we are his visible representatives on earth, but we are. Humans cannot touch his saints without attacking him. Because where is he? You seen God lately? No. He has chosen to be invisible. And he created a representation, a perfect image, the image of God, the Son of God, namely Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he became the image of God. Have you seen him lately? No, we really haven't, have we? Hasn't shown up since about, 34 AD, and he disappeared and hasn't come back. So in the meantime, he is represented by his saints on earth. And I know it's like, ouch, not a very good representation. That's why Paul is always concerned with our walk, with our behavior. And I am too. I want us to all walk worthily of this calling. But an attack on his saints, and now we're getting to the unveiling, is an attack. It's an attack by God on the world. Why? Because they dissed you. Because they dissed his saints. In this case, we're looking at Israel. But really, anyone who suffers evil for the sake of the gospel. For a long time, there was only one gospel. And his prophets suffered greatly. And his spokespeople suffered greatly. They were beaten. They were caged and caved and welded They weren't welded, but I'm thinking of Jeremiah. He was put in a well, so I developed a verb for that. He was welled. And it was a very rude way to treat the prophets. But all this adds up. You see, you think that God forgets this stuff, but he doesn't. He is bound to support their cause. That is the cause of his saints. The supernatural terrorizing trumpet judgments are his response to the petition of his saints and his reply to the rebellion of humankind. And when the fifth seal was opened up, we heard the cry of the saints for vengeance. And this is, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We're not to enact vengeance, as we've been discussing, but I want you to know that God does not forget. And an attack on his saints is an attack on him. And these trumpets are now finally God's response to the petition of his saints over the years. And as I say this, Stephen comes to mind. Stephen in Acts chapter 7, being stoned to death by the leaders of Israel. Again, rude treatment of a man of God. But as always, the mainstream does not recognize the men and women of God, and they habitually persecute them. And so Stephen died, and the last thing he saw was the rocks coming in from those who purported to be God's representatives. And he trusted in his Father, just like Jesus on the cross. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Now, I want you to say this. Father, into your hands I commit my works, I commit my suffering, I commit my pain. Because he is not tardy or careless to forget your suffering and your pain and your trials. He doesn't forget them. How could he? Well, for one thing, he instigated them, so he's not going to forget them. So he is going, there's going to come a day when all the payment's coming. You say, well, Martin, not everybody's going to be alive when Jesus Christ, when these trumpets start happening and people on the earth start suffering. What about those people that stoned Stephen? Why aren't they going to get theirs? Wouldn't God raise them up so that they can go through the tribulation? Well, they're going to have their own tribulation at the great white throne. It's going to be a mini tribulation. I don't know how long it's going to be for anybody who has persecuted the saints. But this is the widespread. This is the public demonstration. This is the earth-bound demonstration. The great white throne is not going to take place on earth, but on in the heavens. Now, along that line, and I'm going to get first tomorrow, the first trumpet. Tomorrow, the first trumpet. We're going to get to these woe trumpets. They're horrible. They're terrible. Thus the black and white. Contrasty. You see, and it's all contrast. That's why I'm doing the contrast thing here in my new Canton, Ohio, North American studio. 2 Corinthians 5. All is of God. I'm in verse 18. Not everybody knows that, but all is of God, absolutely speaking, who conciliates us to himself through Christ. We have the peace now that the world doesn't have and is giving us the dispensation of the conciliation. We dispense this information. What information? How that God was in Christ, conciliating, making peace to the world through himself. This is that window I've been talking to you about that is going to close, that is open wide now, and we take advantage of it. I take advantage of it, but it's going to close. Not reckoning their offenses to them and placing in us the word of the conciliation. For Christ, then, we are ambassadors. Here's the key verse, verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5. As of God, entreating through us. We are beseeching for Christ's sake, be conciliated to God. So, God entreating through us. This is astounding that the voice of peace, the voice of conciliation, the voice of God's attitude today goes out only by our voice. And this is why I say it is a very foolhardy, dangerous thing to diss, to marginalize, to persecute one of God's saints. And remember, saint makes no commentary, that word saint, hagion, makes no commentary whatsoever on the moral qualities of the sainted individual. A saint is not a good person. A good person is a good person. A saint is one who is separated for a purpose, as the prophets were called and separated, as John, who wrote this letter, was called and separated. So we are called and separated in this window of grace, in this era, to proclaim a message of peace. This is why we are taken out of the midst before God takes up again with Israel, because we are the voice of conciliation. This, to me, is the, I say, the number two proof. The number one proof is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. The number two proof that we are not going to be here for the tribulation, I comfort you with that. And this is why. Because God is now conciliated to the world. I read that to you there. And people often ask me, well, if God's conciliated the world, why is he going to proclaim war on the world? Because the world at large needs a wake-up call. But since they need whacked with a big stick in order to be able to hear finally what God is saying, we come in early, we get this message of conciliation now, and so we are proclaimers of God's peace. Now, when God is going to declare war, he is going to remove his ambassadors. We're called ambassadors, right there in 2 Corinthians 5:20. For Christ, then, we are ambassadors as of God. God has sent us into this world, just like the U.S. sends ambassadors to foreign countries. Buddy, is this ever a foreign country? So we're in this foreign country and sent as ambassadors with a seal of approval. And you say, wow, those guys are jerks. Well, you know, we're trying. We improve as we go here. But generally, we're kind of jerks. Maybe. We don't try to be. We want to give a good impression. But again, Saint is just called out, separated by God. I'm going to use this one. There's no commentary whatsoever on your moral character, so forget about that right now. So we declare peace, but when God declares war, what does a country do? What does the United States do? Let's say in World War II, when they declared war on Germany, on Japan, they removed their ambassadors from that country so they could bomb the hell out of that country. So God is going to remove his ambassadors of peace before he declares war. There's nothing more inconsistent or incongruent than to have ambassadors of peace on the earth while God is declaring war. We don't fit here. And so we are going to be removed from here. And anyone who, in this day and age, this is God, anyone who persecutes us, they're persecuting God. We're ambassadors of God. We're ambassadors of God. And we're proclaiming in his stead to be conciliated to God. And so anyone persecuting us persecutes God by extension. And God doesn't like this. And he stores it up. He's very gracious now. It's a window. But there is a time coming on the earth when he has stored up all the anger. People think, well, I'm not angry at God. I'm just angry at Zunder. I'm not angry at God. I'm just angry at Peter or Paul or you or Jeremiah or Isaiah. I'm not mad at God. I'm pissed at Isaiah, though. I hate that guy. I hate Isaiah. Well, guess what? When you hate Isaiah, you hate God, because God is the one who sent Isaiah. You hate the one God sends, then you hate, by extension, God. And so many people are going to be at the great white throne going, I loved you, God. I promise, I served you every day, and I listened to you. I loved your truth. And God is going to say, no, you didn't. They're going to say, how do you figure? Because you didn't listen to my people. You didn't listen to the people I sent you. I sent you Moses. I sent you Aaron. I sent you the prophets. I sent you Jesus Christ. You didn't listen to him. You killed him. Guess who sent him? Me. Guess who's the image of God? Jesus Christ. Oops. You missed that one big time. And then I sent you the apostles. You killed them. You beat them. I sent you Paul. You hated him. You hounded him. And you put him in jail. And you eventually made sure that he was killed. And then in this era, I send you Zunder and all these other people. And you hate them. You think they're crazy. You look at their websites. You go, this guy's weird. And so I'm sorry. But when you're at the great white throne and God's going to say, you know, you hated me there. When do we hate you? You hated Zunder. Well, yeah, of course I hated Zunder. Oh, shoot. You sent Zunder. Uh-oh. And so we have this purpose. Pretty awesome, isn't it? But the thing to know before we launch tomorrow into the trumpets, the first trumpet, is that God remembers this. And there will be judgment. All will eventually be saved, but not without judgment. Judgment is God's strange work. He does it always with a saving purpose in mind.